Okay, so again, I'm Andrew Davidoff, and as Michael introduced, I work on protocols in Office Division. My focus is mostly on Exchange, but I also work with SharePoint as well. My discipline is test. So what I'm doing is we are testing protocols, delivering best ways to do it. We're also delivering, designing test suites, and we're releasing test suites. That's all part of our test effort. And we also have several protocols that use OAuth. I want to say right away that I cannot say I am expert in OAuth, but by the nature of us having protocols that use it, I needed to take a look on it. I actually looked at what OAuth is, and I studied what the best ways to test this is. And what's important is that in this Plugfest, we are going to have at least two presentations, tomorrow and Wednesday, which will dive deep into OAuth. And in the team, we discussed what's the best way to do this, and decided that it will be very beneficial if we will have initial presentation that describes in very high level what OAuth is, what it's trying to solve, and general flow of things in it, because the protocol is quite complex. So that is what I'm trying to do today. I'm going to talk about what is OAuth, different roles, type of grants, and also talk about implementations of OAuth. So let's start with example where you will feel the need for something interesting and different. Many of you know what Mint.com is. That's an online accounting service, quite popular in the United States. I'm not sure about Europe. It is trusted. That's important. So people trust information to this service. And I'm going to use it as an example. They probably don't yet have better way, but I just want to show you the issue that definitely needs to be solved. So when I go to mint.com, first thing I need to do is establish my accounting information. So it asks me, what accounts do you have? Okay, I have American Express. Nice. Give me your user ID and password. Nice, isn't it? It is full access to my account. It's not just read access, it's full access. Mint.com is saying we will use it only in read-only mode. We will never do anything other than read. But they keep it internally, and they even say that some people have access to this information. So again, this is trusted service. Almost 200 million accounts are there. So okay, American Express, or maybe, yeah. How about my retirement account? This is Fidelity. This is a little bit more serious than American Express. There is no security behind this. I mean, I can. This is all my retirement, basically behind this screen, and they want full access to that. So I don't know. They're trusted, but everybody needs to make it own decision. I would much prefer if I will give them something else. So there should be a better way to do it. And that is what OAuth is trying to do. It delegates access to user resources. So it is the way when you say, okay, this a service or application can use my resources, but in certain way. This service will not ever see my password or user account. And it's open protocol, and there are several RFCs that are behind it. Historically, first version of OAuth, it grew out of OpenID community. And it has quite a few successful implementations. It works, and it was optimized to server-side web applications. So it would serve the problem like I described before. It used signed requests, which made it a little bit complex. And it has some performance and scalability challenges. So there were some, as I understand, community had some lessons learned, and they come up with version 2.0, which simplifies this security stuff by just using HTTPS. It's designed to support mobile and native application as well as web-based applications. And it simplifies quite a few things. It also has better role separation, which helps with performance and scalability. Before, one important concept, and it's known that people who try to work with OAuth are often confused by, is what is the area OAuth is covering? There are two different things. There is authentication, OAuthN, which is where you prove you are who you say you are. And in order to prove that, you normally need to either know something like password, or you need to have something like card key or your phone, or it can be just your biometrics. So that's authentication. Authorization is what permissions you have. You know who you are, but what you can access. So this is authorization, also called OAuth-Z. So the important question is, what is OAuth? Is it OAuth-N or OAuth-Z? And a lot of people initial answer to this question is first OAuth-N. But in fact, strictly speaking, it is OAuth-Z. And it's important to know. Authorization is sort of delegated. It's part of the flow, but it's not OAuth servers who is doing it. There's separate services who do authentication. And OAuth doesn't solve authentication directly. It just uses the other services. Let's talk about roles. I'm going to talk about four roles, client types, and first introduction to logical flow of OAuth. There are four roles. Resource owner is end user. It's basically me when I go to min.com. Resource server is a server that hosts resources. It can be OneDrive or your online account service. Authorization server is the one who is doing authentication. User talks to authentication server to prove I am who I am. Example is Microsoft account server, there are many of them. Client is application. This is application that is using your resources. Here I have an example of Office cloud application that scans my contacts and sends birthday reminders. There are two types of clients. Biggest the real distinction between them is that one can keep information confidential and another one cannot. So that's it. It's a client is either private or public. And they use different kinds of flow, logical flows and grants when they use OAuth too. So web application is private. It can keep credentials. Browser-based script is not. You cannot put password in it. Native application is considered to be public as well. So let's look at logical flow here. Client sends makes out our Z request to resource owner. Resource owner sends back grant. It grant is of one of four types that OAuth supports, and there are some extensions as well. The client then trades this grant to access token. It talks to our authorization server, and authorization server actually gives him back access token. And then client can use this access token to talk to the resource, to resource server, and get resource that it's needed. Any questions here so far? Okay. Let's talk about grant types. As I mentioned, there are four grant types. Authorization grant requires intermediate credentials. Implicit grant does not need intermediate credentials. And I'm going to talk what's in scope of my presentation is those two. There also are a resource owner credential grant where you actually get token using full user credentials, which defeats the purpose of OAuth in this scenario. And it is used in some migration scenarios or high trust clients. And there is also a client credentials grant when client uses own credentials. And it's useful sometimes when client has secured resources that it can access using its own credentials. But again, I'm going to talk about first two. Authorization code grant. It uses authorization code as intermediate credential. It is optimized for private clients, so for web services. It allows renewal of access tokens, because reason for that is it can keep information confidential and private. And it also allows client authentication. So this is just example of applications that can use OAuth. Some web client, private client, that can access my OneDrive account and paste pandas into my pictures. And here's URL where it's located. Just a weird example. So before you use OAuth and this grant, before using this grant, client must register with authorization server and provide client type and redirection URI. It also provides some other information like name, website, description, some logo, etc. In the following screens, you will see how it's being used. It's basically it's being used by authorization server to during authorization step. So it tells you who is the client that actually asks for this. So after registering developer, client developer will get client ID and client secret. So here's the flow. In this case, authorization server is Microsoft ID. So user agent loads client, and client gets redirected to authorization server. After that, So response type here is code, and that is difference between different kind of grants. It also provides client ID. Redirect URI is what's going to be called with tokens and with access code. Scope is level of permissions that a client is asking. Is it read, write, and so on. State is a unique string that will be given back to you, to the client in response. And the last three parameters are actually optional. So user authenticating to authorization server. This is interesting. This authentication happens directly between user and authorization server. Client is not involved in it. It just did redirect. And that's it. It doesn't see this traffic. And so authorization server grants a client request for permission. Here's an example of what's really happening. First, there is authentication dialog, where you prove who you are. And then there is a permissions dialog, where you confirm that, yes, I want to give this level of access. And you see who is asking for this as well. And again, this is provided by authentication server. Who you trust, I guess. So next, the server redirects user to redirect user agent to redirect URI. And if state was provided in previous steps, then state will be returned. It also returned access code. Access code is unique for authorization code grant. For prior, one optional step at this point is that for client can actually go ahead and authenticate itself as well at this point with authorization server. So it can use both its own credentials plus user credentials. And with that, client sends authorization code to the server. Grant type in this case is authorization code. And it provides URI and client ID as well. If everything is fine, then authorization server sends back access token. This token can be used to access resource. That's basically it. But what happens if access token expires? Optionally, with this grant, authorization server can also send refresh token. And this refresh token lives much longer than access token. Normally, access tokens expire within several hours. And refresh tokens live for several months. So when access token expires and client needs access, it sends refresh token to the server. And if refresh token is OK, then client gets back another new access token. Interesting that that's also, you see, that there is also a way to revoke permissions. If I revoke permissions for the client, then refresh token will just not work. And so with this, after all these steps are done, resource owner can go to the client application, select pictures. That will go to OneDrive, user selects pictures, and it will put pandas in it. So you can give your own examples here. But basically, here is how client, without using your credentials, can access your resources. Implicit grant, in many senses, it's similar to authorization grant. But it doesn't include intermediate credentials. It also doesn't support refresh tokens. It's optimized for public clients. There is nothing to keep. And many native and native application clients use this grant. So it starts the same way, except that response type is token. And client just navigates user to authorization server. Same client ID, redirect URL, scope, and state. meaning is the same. Again, user authenticates. And then in the next step, authorization server sends access token directly to the client. There's no intermediate steps. So it sends access token, it sends type, which tells what is describes how to use the token. Expiration, scope, and state. And native client just detects this redirect and acts on it. If it is web-based, then few other things need to happen for web application to get this information. But at the end, native client just client gets this access token and can use it. Any questions on those things? Okay, implementations. OAuth is implemented in SharePoint. It uses authorization code-based flow. Auto-hosted SharePoint applications that can be installed either from private catalog or from Office Store. And for authorization, then can use either self-signed tokens that SharePoint trusts or request one from Windows Azure ICS. ICS is access control server. Visual Studio, starting from 2012, actually includes Wizard for auto-hosted applications in SharePoint. And this Wizard contains class that deals with OAuth type interactions, on token interactions between different entities involved. Microsoft account supports both kind of grants and also some extensions. And it provides SDK for Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. There are many other OAuth implementations. It's just very few of them. Exchange is doing it, is implementing OAuth, and there will be talk about it tomorrow. Facebook, Yammer, Twitter, they all use it in different variations. There are many variations, you know, of ours. This is very high-level logical flow. And what is interesting is that OpenID Connect protocol is now using OAuth 2 as well. And that protocol can be used to outsource sign-in logic for web for client developers and outsource it to companies like Microsoft or Google. And several other companies also support this effort. I have a few resources here to list where to start with OAuth. Any questions?
So,
the question is, does Microsoft Office support OAuth? So SharePoint is part of Office, and SharePoint supports OAuth. And you can build applications with authentication built on OAuth. Office 365, Exchange and Office 365 and Exchange in general also supports OAuth. And you, there will be talk about this tomorrow.
And what about Windows
itself? Many things support OAuth, like Azure, and, Live ID. When we talk about OAuth support, what we support is it's either resource server or authentication server. So yes, when Windows supports it in some services. What resource, sorry?
WebDev.
Okay.
WebDev.
So you have WebDev resource and you have server that hosts resources. The question is if the server implements the OAuth.
Yeah.
It's part of the server implementation. It's not coming from like Windows. Like in, it's coming with SharePoint, it's coming with Office, it's coming from Windows services. But if it's just Windows, it doesn't necessarily mean that OAuth is supported. It's different. It's different logic and different protocol. But again, this, when we talk about implementation, we're talking about server side here. Not sure if I answered your question. Maybe we should just talk after that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Ethan? To what services, sorry?
XAML and federated services, because it's like similar concept, or is there some plans to merge into?
Are you going to into single sign-up?
For example.
Okay, so there will be, no. Yes and no. So no, it's not. It is different. Yeah, it's just about your authorization. Tomorrow they will talk about Office 365 APIs, it will talk about OAuth, and I think they will touch single sign-on.
So it's not based on XAML?
Not that I know of, it's based on RFCs.
All right, thank you, Andrew.
Okay.